In 2004, the Moon, Mars and Beyond Commission was charged by President Bush on canvassing a wide range of opinions on how America could shape its future in space. To this end, the nine commissioners called witnesses from many professions and organizations to advise it. At the end of its public hearings at five locations, members of the public were given 2 minutes to chip in with their ideas and add them to the mix. The final hearing in New York City was no exception, and Commission Chairman Pete Aldridge invited comments from the audience.
It is time to open the floor for public comment from the audience. The process is that I have a bowl here with a bunch of names which have been submitted. I will draw names at random. I'll call two names, the first followed by the second. There's a microphone up here in front for you to raise your comment. We will not respond to questions. What we'd like to hear is your thoughts. And so my first person to come up is Bruce Damer. Bruce, come forward. And following him would be Rob Wilk.
Bruce Damer represented a role-playing group called AmericasArmy.com.
Thank you. About 3 years ago, the United States Army, with a general directive, decided to task a team out in California to create something called AmericasArmy.com. You've probably heard of this. Admiral Steidel talks about it. There's, just for the audience, there's 3.5 million people in. It's sort of a simulation game. It's sort of like a training game. You go into basic training in the game, and you have a squad, and you come out, and you go into combat. It's fantastic. 1.5 million people have done it. It improved the Army's image and probably the recruitment for the Army. Very, very small investment. And a bunch of us out in California working with NASA Ames, and recently in Houston with Buzz, we did a program with Boeing. Why can't we do an America space program, massive multiplayer environment for the youth that are out there now into teenage, into the 20s, that's reality-based, that uses a lot of our simulation we've done in the agency, and just put that out for people to get excited. You know, we were excited about television. Walter Cronkite in the 60s brought people into the program. It's online environments like these that are going to bring people on stream in the 21st century. So that's just my input to the panel.
Rob Wilkie is a lawyer.
Okay, the next one is Rob Wilk, and following him will be Ed Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rob Wilk. I'm from Long Island. I was captivated by the Apollo explorations and inspired by teachers through my youth. Then I hit physics and calculus and decided to become a lawyer. But I'm here as a stakeholder today, and I want to thank you for your service, and if you could please thank the President for articulating really the people's vision. Briefly, regarding education and youth, if you recall the transforming nature of the 20th century's GI Bill, if you could come up with some way to have a GI Bill for this century, I think that would go a long way to putting scientists and engineers in the silos, and it would be very useful not only for this effort, but for many others. NASA can be commended for its Explorer Schools initiative, where it's reaching out to communities in not as advantaged parts of the country, and if you could find a way to ask them to continue to expand programs such as those. Also, to look to give grants or materials to some community or grassroots educational organizations to help them, or to help us, reach out to different communities, not only defined as students or youth, but there's also other populations that need to hear what's going on with space exploration. And they need to hear it in different ways than in a K-2 materials packet or a middle school packet. Science and technology. Recalling Clementine's success from 10 years ago, please try to synergize and capitalize on whatever DARPA can bring to the table and what other federal agencies that are working for various other government groups can bring to help make this vision come to fruition. Finally, management and sustainability. Stay goal-oriented. Don't become destination-oriented. Help us to realize that the goal can remind us that we're all stewards of this earth, and that the successes that come each step along the way can show that there are answers through this exploration that can help address environmental issues on Earth and to help improve people's lives. We've heard about a social conscience. People are concerned about helping their neighbors. People need to be reminded that not only in this country, but the developing world has benefited tremendously by space programs, resource utilization, mapping, weather forecasting. Sustainability. Get the word out for us stakeholders that we need to be more than armchair enthusiasts, but really public policy influencers. And that will be something that will really help this to be a sustainable vision. Management, please follow the JSF model and not the ISS model. And I think that will really help the people go a long way. And finally, sustainability, keep the lawyers employed. You know, there's a lot that can go with international treaties, national laws, as well as administrative regulations that will go to the next level and make the private sector have room to grow in space. My final hope is that we're all around in about 10 years, and the first crew that goes to the moon will carry about 10 of these lapel pins with them as a tribute to you, will be left in the soil. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a quick question of the gentleman. You grew up on Long Island. Were you aware at the time you were a child of the role of Grumman in building space vehicles for the Apollo program? I'm just wondering what that... Were you aware?
Very much so. My father was an electrical engineer. He went to school through the GI Bill. He worked at Grumman.
All right. Okay. Good.
Thank you.
The next person to have his name drawn from the Moon Mass Commission Chairman Pete Aldridge's hat did not declare his profession or affiliation.
Ed Fisher's on his way up, and following him would be Thomas Hamilton.
Thank you for this opportunity. I believe strongly that our efforts in space must concentrate on human exploration of Mars, with the eventual goal of settlement and creation of a new branch of human civilization. The best way to achieve this goal is with a mission architecture based on the Mars Direct Plan or its descendant, the NASA Design Reference Mission. The emphasis of this mission architecture on in-situ resource utilization combined with direct launches to Mars without recourse to any on-orbit assembly or a lunar sidetrack produces a robust and highly redundant program which is feasible and highly productive in scientific and exploratory terms. Whatever the ultimate recommendations of this commission and whatever final plan is put forward, however, I believe that the NASA that we've had of the last 30 years cannot implement. In NASA's glory days of Apollo, they had a clear goal and a clear schedule. This forced NASA to devise an efficient and rational plan to achieve the goal, design the hardware that would be required to implement that plan, build that set of hardware, and fly those missions. They did so brilliantly, and the men and women involved, some sitting in this room today, can be justifiably proud of their accomplishments and assured of their place in history. In the 35 years since the end of Apollo, NASA has spent much more money and achieved much less in terms of human space exploration. This is so because they've had neither a clear goal nor a certain schedule. As a result, random programs have come and gone, justified by the weak reasoning that they might be useful sometime if we ever decide to go somewhere. Now is the time, and Mars is the place. Congress and the President, with the able assistance of this commission, must give NASA the direction in which it needs.
Thomas Hamilton, as a former planetarium teacher, had strong views on NASA's lack of self-promotion skills.
Thank you. Thomas Hamilton, and following him will be Kerry Robin.
Yes, sir. 40 years ago, I was working on the Apollo project in my second job out of college. I was at Grumman Aircraft doing design work on radar accuracy requirements, fuel requirements, and the characteristics of circumlunar orbits. When the project started to sag, I moved on, started working in planetariums, and became a college teacher for over 30 years. I've retired, turned in my last grades May 8th last year. Because I worked in the planetarium, I did shows teaching astronomy to everything from kindergarten on up. So I've dealt with the public on every possible level teaching astronomy. And I have found that there's a profound interest and also a very profound misunderstanding, lack of knowledge. And one of the things that I believe your group could foster. About 25 years ago, JPL had one employee, Ben Casados, who worked with planetariums all over the country to feed them information, slides, posters, everything that they asked for. He tried to develop the program so that it was the things that they could use. Yes, I know NASA has an office now where you could go to them and ask them for a poster or whatever. I have a former student who works for NASA who would send me their posters. But it is not something where they do a good outreach, where they find out what the groups can use. Now, in New York City, for example, there are over 50 planetariums. I would bet that Dr. Tyson's is about the only one that ever hears from NASA, if they do. However, Congressman Walker said something yesterday which touched me, because in addition to my background as an astronomer, I spent 8 years as the county chair of a political party. I'm still on the state committee and the county executive committee. And his comments about the politics of the situation struck me, because there are very, very few people in the sciences who are active in politics. I've always been regarded by my colleagues as sort of weird. He's laughing, he knows.
But you're running out of time.
Oh, okay, I want to get to the point.
Yes.
There are organizations that I'm a member of that they're members in every, they have it organized so that they get email saying, your zip code is such and so, that means this is your congressman, we want you to send your congressman a letter today, because otherwise the republic will fall. Well, you know, occasionally I answer it. But the thing is, this should be done by a phone here earlier. But anyway, the various space organizations should be doing this, and they aren't. I'm going to contact Lou Friedman and see if, you know, if we can set up something like that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just address one of the comments. JPL actually has started a museum program, and they're expanding it, just the kind of program you're talking about.
Okay, Carrie Robin's coming up, and this will be our last questioner or last comment. Adam Glass after Carrie.
To sustain popular support for space endeavors, we need to elicit what Larry Harvey, the founder of Burning Man Festival in Nevada, calls social convection forces around the concept of a spacefaring civilization. This requires appealing to more than aerospace contractors and astronomy buffs alone. We need to inspire a comprehensive sense of Gaian mission awareness among the institutions of society as a whole. There is a large culture gap evident here between government bureaucracy and the leading edge. The Bush administration in particular has so alienated the creative intelligentsia and the youth audience that there is even a danger of an ad hominem backlash against space, simply because this atypically idealistic initiative has come from the same source as the Iraq war, the drug war, the budget deficit, threats to the remaining wilderness, and erosion of civil liberties. Success requires both style and substance. 21st century space advocacy needs to position itself much like Steve Jobs of Apple Computers and the late Carl Sagan. Space should be approached from new paradigms and integrated with an emerging ecotopian vision of a freer, friendlier, sustainable culture living in peace, much like that articulated by Marshall T. Savage of the Living Universe Foundation, Stuart Brand of Whole Earth Review, and many others over the decades, from Terrence McKenna to Robert Anton Wilson, Gene Houston to Bucky Fuller, most of these ignored by the government. Several presenters spoke of being inspired by news of Sputnik. For younger generations, I think it was the image of the whole Earth and extensions of the Gaia hypothesis, the Earth as a living superorganism, that spoke most compellingly to us. Gaia beckons for humanity to take on a noble role as an enlightened technological species, restoring the environmental damage done during the industrial era, shielding the biosphere from asteroid impacts, ending poverty with resources and energy from space, and carrying the seeds of life to birth new worlds above. Thank you.
2 minutes.
I don't represent anyone in particular. I'm just a kid with an interest in space. I guess in a way, I represent the youth of America. I'll keep this short. I just basically want to repeat two ideas that I feel are the most important that this commission has discussed. One being the creation of a space industry instead of space program. I believe that that can dramatically reduce the cost of getting to low Earth orbit and also stimulate the economy, create new jobs, and possibly we could even see the space industry grow as quickly as the computer industry has. That's one. Number two is I think NASA really needs to focus more on advertising and recruitment. Space in general is something that's cool and interesting and needs to be presented that way. We need more people that can talk about what NASA's doing in an interesting way and put it more in layman's terms for the general public. People like Steve Squires, people like Mike Thole, people like Administrator O'Keefe. Recruitment's very important too. When I went to my high school's career day, there was a guy there from the Navy, there was a guy there from the Army, there was no NASA guy. I think there definitely needs to be. I would have loved to have gotten a job at NASA. I did really good in math and science, but I wouldn't know how to go about getting a job at NASA. It's not something that's that easy. Finally, you hear all this talk about the graying of NASA and how the NASA workforce is in the process of retirement and how they desperately need young people to come in. I'd just like to say there's plenty of young people out there with good math and science skills and an interest in space. You just need to reach us.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I also see a future astronaut sitting up here on the staircase.
Would you give Adam Glass, one of seven members of the public drawn by lot to express their opinions about space exploration to the Moon, Mars and Beyond Commission on their final day of hearings. This has been Program 79 in our Space Show series covering the public sessions of the Commission. On our next, the Commissioners answer questions from the press. This program was written and edited by Andrew Rennie using audio retrieved by Alan Walker from the Commission.
The Great Southern Sounds of Melbourne, 88.3 Southern FM.